Thank you everyone for joining the call. Let me introduce the participants from Adani Green. We have Mr. Vineet Jain, who is the MD and CEO, Mr. Kaushal Shah, who has been the CFO at Adani Green for the last 2 years and will now be taking up new responsibilities within the Adani Group, Mr. Phunsok Wangyal, who is now going to take up responsibilities as the new CFO at Adani Green. Also on the call, we have Mr. Anupam Mishra, who is Head of Corporate Finance at Adani Group, Mr. Rajkumar Jain, who is Head of Business Development, and Mr. Veera Laval, who is the Lead Investor Relations. I will now hand it over to Mr. Kaushal Shah for opening remarks, and we will follow it up with Q&A. Thank you.
Morning, everyone. Thank you, Ravi, for a brief introduction. Thank you for joining this call on the updates on H1 results of Adani Green. And as rightly Ravi mentioned, Phunsok Wangyal, more than 20 plus years of experience. He was with NG India earlier. So he will be taking over as a CFO. And I'm within the group only and moving to some other role in the group. So available in case of any future, requirement as well. So having said that, we have already uploaded the earning presentation on our website. And we hope that you would have a sufficient time to go through the same. Let me just update you on few operational as well as the capacity front. So on a year-on-year basis, the operational capacity has increased by 20. I repeat, 6724 megawatt. Over and above, now this is a legal COD, over and above 948 megawatt, which is partially commissioned. So that also is expected to be commissioned and we will be able to declare the legal COD pretty soon. But that is already there. Also, as you all are aware, that country's first hybrid projects of 1.6 gigawatt, we have already implemented. And that's a big achievement from the company side. So the next is on the ESG front. I would like to highlight that AGEL has achieved Sustainalytics ESG risk rating of low risk with a score of 14.6, which is the best among the key large global peers. And the global industry average is 33.5, and we got a score of 14.6. So this is an excellent, the achievement by the Adani Green. Again, it shows our commitment on the ESG front, continuous improvement. Also, AGEL has won CII's Climate Action Program 2.0 for the committed award. And as you are all aware that, we have committed various stuff like zero plastic usage by 2024, positive water neutrality, all of that stuff which we are already implementing. But all our operational plant has achieved the plastic-free things already. Now, let me take you on the operation fronts. So as usual, solar portfolio of CUF has improved by 110 bps. On year-on-year basis, 24.3%. Similarly, on the wind side, we have achieved the CUF 41%. Barring, 150 megawatt projects where there was a transmission line issues, and because of that, the overall of CUF has gone down. But as mentioned in our comment, in our results, overall annualized impact is only 0.4%. So that's where, as far as the CUF is concerned, I've already told you that country's first hybrid project of 1.6 gigawatt, we have made it operational. all the new commission plants are managed by Adani Group's Intelligent Energy Network Operations Center. And because of that, the fixed time to fault finding and repair is very minimal. This leads to EBITDA margin of almost close to 92%. Sale of energy has increased to 6,618 million units, which is 67%. Revenue from the power supply has increased by 45%. EBITDA from the power supply has increased by 52%. And the cash profit has increased by 49%. Another important development which has happened is that Adani Green has received a favorable order from the APTEL for its 288 megawatt of solar plants of Kamuthi. As you all are aware that Kamuthi has 648 megawatts of plant, but in this 288 megawatt, the tariff originally was 7.01 rupees and they used to give us at 5 rupees 10 paise. So now the APTEL has given the favorable order, and as per that, we will have a one-time revenue of 568 crores and recurring revenue of 90 crores. So this is again, big achievement. We have not accounted this till date because we expect that the DISCOM will go to the Supreme Court. So, once the final position comes, post that we will account. But we are very confident that even if they go to the Supreme Court, the result will be in our favor. The next important point for all of you is that, as I was just mentioning earlier also, that, some of the projects have partial commissioned and not achieved the legal COD. And because of that, we have to sell this power on a short-term access basis, and we could generate 1,312 crore rupees, 1,312 crore to be precise, roughly around, dollar as a revenue. Now, this is not part of my P&L. This will go to the balance sheet and will reduce my project cost. So, last year also we have almost achieved 552 crore revenue. So all in all, from the infirm revenue, which is not part of my P&L, from last October onwards, we have generated around 1,852 crore rupees, to be precise, in the form of infirm revenue. So it's a huge cash positive for us. Another important development which all of you should know is the receivable. You can see that in March, we had a receivable of 1,681 crore. In September, this is only 1,113 crores. So, substantial amount we have recovered from the Tamil Nadu as well as Telangana, almost 700 plus crores, which is, almost $95 million. And moving forward also, we see that the trend will continue. Some of my friends has a question that, how Tamil Nadu is able to fund. So, there are a couple of developments that operating losses are now, fully funded by the state government. Second, they have increased the tariff almost 20% with the various customers on an average. So these are the additional sources over and above the working capital and the loan which they are availing from the PFCREC and the local banks. So that has helped them to, pay this overdue. On the interest rate, again, questions come that on the rising interest rate scenario, how we are performing. So I'm happy to report, and last time also I conveyed that almost 76% of our portfolio is fixed rate. Around 11% of the portfolio where the loan is fixed for almost 2 to 3 years. So typically, whenever you take initial greenfield loan, first 2 to 3 years it is a fixed rate, and then it will convert into a variable rate. So only 11% of the portfolio overall is is variable. However, you know, in the near future, as I was just telling, that we should be doing the bond issuance once the market stabilizes. And then, you know, we will be having that also converted into the fixed. So all in all, you know, very solid performance in the sense that the execution, whatever we have planned, is, you know, we have achieved. Year end, we are expecting to close around 8,300 megawatt, roughly. And, you know, the run rate EBITDA could be in the range of 7,200 crores. Some of the friends always ask for the net debt to EBITDA. So if you look at the September numbers, we are at 5.6, which is, you know, way below the 7.5, which has been agreed against the Holdco bond. And the last but not least, I would like to assure, you know, the investors' friends that FCFE over next 2 years is sufficient enough to repay, even if there is a delay in the refinance of the Holdco bond. So this is another question we keep getting from the various investors. So we have a sufficient FCFE which is being generated along with the existing cash balance, which should be able to, you know, the repay even if there is a delay in the Holdco bond refinance, which we don't envisage this to happen. But I'm just saying, even in a worst scenario, you know, we are fully geared up to make sure that this is achievable. So with this, you know, I leave it for the Q&A session to start. Thank you very much for the patiently hearing.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by 1 on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind, please press star followed by 2 to withdraw your question. If you're streaming via web browser, kindly press the Q&A button and type in your question. When preparing to ask your question, please ensure your phone is unmuted locally. First, we have a question from an online participant. Can you please bridge the current EBITDA run rate of 46 billion to your guidance of 72 billion? Thank you.
So there are various operating assets which will become, you know, come up between the current declared COD and the March COD. So that will generate this EBITDA of 7,200 crores. I hope I have answered your question.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Sharon Chen from Bloomberg. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, thanks for hosting this call. I had a question on the finance cost paid, because you mentioned that about 76% of your debt is in fixed rate, but I saw that your finance cost actually increased from about 1,300 crore to 2,300 crore in first half. Could you just talk through, you know, what led to the increase? Thank you.
If you look at, compare the, I don't know with which numbers you are comparing, but if you look at Q2 of last year versus Q2 of the current year, then there is a capacity ramp up, significant capacity ramp up which has happened. So, you know, like revenue has increased, similarly, all the operating costs as well as the finance cost has increased. But overall, at a portfolio level, we have an average interest rate of 9.1%. And all our foreign debt is fully hedged. So there is no risk as far as the forex movement is concerned.
One follow-up question on finance cost paid. Does that include any payment made to Total on the staple instruments? And this, I'm talking about the amounts in the cash flow statement.
Yeah, so, you know, we have this stapled instrument. We have done an arrangement with the Total that we have to repay after 25 years. So this is an equity instrument, and you know, generally the we can distribute around 18 to 20% to the sponsor. So here we have agreed around 13% to the total for the distribution every year. So this is the that regular, but this is not an interest payment. This is in the nature of you know, the distribution.
So just to clarify on this one, basically from an accounting perspective, it is treated as debt because it is interest bearing. But the way the covenants have been structured around this facility, it is actually subordinated to senior debt, and it actually ranks in the form of shareholder subordinated debt. And therefore, this is paid in the form of distribution that Kaushal mentioned.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Prof. J. Hara from Goldman Sachs. What debt instrument was repaid using the 500 million proceeds from IHC?
So normally what is happening is that this 500 million we used to have a short term, you know, the borrowing which we used to do it in case, because the upstreaming from the SPV happens twice in a year. So in between we have a short term borrowing, and as soon as we receive that, we repay that. So immediately when we received this money, we have reduced our loan. But, you know, this is available on the call at any given point of time.
Yeah, just to add to that, effectively what we've done in this transaction is that there was a shareholder subordinated debt. It has been replaced with common equity. So we... So it's replaced with common equity.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Parthi Gupta from BlackRock. What impact you factor in from the recent subsidy reduction on solar panels is by government for your new projects? You mentioned about FCFE good enough to redeem the whole code 24. Can you please run us through your console cash flows? Thank you.
So, while the question is a bit unclear, because there was no subsidy per se in India on these solar panels, what has happened is recently the government has imposed a basic custom duty on solar panels when they are imported from overseas. So as far as we are concerned, our current projects, whatever we have in they provide a provision in the agreement, whereby in the power purchase agreement, where this increase in the cost due to basic custom duty imposition would be passed on to in the power cost to the buyer of power. So we are immune from this increase in the solar panel cost in almost all our projects. Going forward, whatever we are bidding, we are considering whatever potential impact is there due to this in the prices of modules available in India. So we are more or less not impacted by this. Second part.
Yeah, so I think another question was that about the how we are having the FCFE. So here, you know, I would like, we will send you the separately the detailed working, but primarily, what we are saying is that by year end, we should have around 8,300 megawatt of the capacity. And mostly every year, we will be adding around 4,000 megawatt, 4 gigawatt of the capacity, which will generate substantial cash flow, internal accruals. And on top of it, you know, we are expecting the infirm power revenue, which we have received during the current year and last year. The same will continue over next 2 years. So if you add all of these things, you know, there will be a sufficient free cash flow which will be available with us. And on top of us, if you look at our balance sheet, we have a cash of almost around 4,000 crores. So, you know, all put together, we should be able to completely repay our debt even if there is a delay in the refinancing, which we don't see as a challenge. Only thing is that, you know, we wanted to do the refinancing for the longer tenure. So if market, let's say, in a worst scenario, do not stabilize, we have an option to access the local market as well for a shorter tenure of 3 years to 5 years, and then do the refinancing, which is available at 9.5%. So, you know, we have all plan B also ready, as well as our internal FCFE also will cover up the required repayment. So there is no risk.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Imtiaz Shafundin from Barclays. Please proceed with your question.
Thank you. I just have one question with regards to your capacity expansion plans. You've mentioned in your presentation slide pack that you have 3,200 megawatts under construction and another 10,500 under execution. Can we just have a rough idea of how much this is going to cost you and how much of the funding has been done? And also, you know, how do you see, you know, whatever that has not been funded yet, how are you expecting to finalize those? Thank you.
Well, sure, it's a good question. So, you know, the cost for each of these, because there will be a solar, wind, as well as the hybrid projects which are there. So the cost will be different, you know, for each of the projects. And, you know, that for the solar, it could be around in the 4.5 crores per megawatt. And for the wind, you know, it will be around 5.5 to 6 crores per megawatt. So that could be the broader range, I am just telling that. Now, you know, on the capital management program, and it's a good question that you are raising. So what we have done is that, let's say Adani Green, which is a holding company, is that company itself is doing the EPC work for all the projects. So at Adani Green level, we have almost $1.2 billion, roughly around 9,000 crores non-fund-based letter of credit facility. So what we do is that, unlike other peers where, you know, they win the projects and they have to wait for the financial closure, here we are able to immediately open the LC in favor of the supplier. And then, the, you know, these LC is opened at 50 bps and 5.5% is the discount. So around 6% we are able to fund these greenfield projects for almost 9 to 12 months. And then, you know, by the time material becomes ready, you know, that material is sold to the SPV, and they by that time have a construction facility funding already available. So they take the disbursement, again the security of this equipment, and repay the letter of credit, and then letter of credit facility available for the next projects. Now you understand that if we use this facility, let's say for 180 days, then this $1.2 billion facility becomes $2.4 billion facility, which is sufficient to execute around 4 gigawatt of the projects. So as far as the, you know, the financial closure or the CAPEX program funding, we are already fully funded and we don't have to have any challenges on this particular piece. I hope I have answered your questions. Thank you.
Yes, you have. Can I just have one follow-up? Do you do that on a 75-25 or 70-30 debt equity, or
correct?
Is it all
most of the projects lead? Like in construction we get 75-25, and then when we do the bond, you know, long-term bond of 2022 year, which is part of our capital management program, you know, the debt can be upsized up to 85-15, depending upon the, you know, the overall life cycle of the projects, the PLCR, which is 1.6, and all of that covenants, which is replica of RG2 bond. So, and that also help us to have an upsize in the equity.
Great. Thank you. That's very clear.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Oscar Chow from Saganti. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, thanks so much for the call and for taking the question. Sorry, I missed a few things, but so I apologize if I'm asking a question you've already discussed. But any update to the new financing that you were discussing last month? Where you said that you were looking to raise, I think it was $1 billion, higher rated than the Indian sovereign. Any update to that? And maybe just give us, can you remind us of what that is again?
So, Oscar, hi, this is Anupam. As on day, looking at the market, looking at the market volatility and looking at where the yields are, that is something that we have enough time on our hands. The underlying projects have the existing financing that runs. So we will revisit the market situation in 6 to 9 months' time and accordingly update. But as of now, there are no immediate plans to tap this market. And we are also working on seeing alternate pools of liquidity, which includes, broadly the focus for us will be the SEC registered market, and the second focus will be the Reg D market. 144A Reg S, we'll see how the, and especially in the current rate environment, I think although we got some good news yesterday, but we want to watch this market for the 6, 9, 12 month period, and then we'll look at it. As of now, there are no immediate plans.
Okay, understood. Thanks, Anupam.
Thank you. Our next question comes from an online participant. Why their capital expenditure looks much lower in first half 2023? Any change in construction plan? Can we have our guidance of CapEx and capacity growth for FY23 and FY24? Thank you.
So I don't know which numbers you are looking at it, but you know, the current year, last year on 31st March, we have 5,400 megawatt of the capacity which was operational, and there was certain work in progress. So similarly, current year also, we have already 7,600, I have already explained to you, and then the remaining are under progress. So if you consider both the gross block plus the capital work in progress, I think, you know, the expenditure what we are doing is as per the planning. And similarly, the next year also, you know, we will be doing, implementing 4 gigawatts. The subsequent year also, the plan is similar. And accordingly, you know, the expenditure will be done.
Thank you.
And I have already communicated to you the infirm power. So overall, we have, you know, from last October to this October, we have earned 1,852 crore rupees. Now, this is part of my project cost. So you might feel that the capital expenditure is lower, but because we have earned this revenue, and which is part of my balance sheet and part of my, you know, the project cost capital expenditure, the capital expenditure looks lower by that amount. So that could be one of the reasons where you feel that our expenditure is lower. And just to clarify this.
Sure, thank you. Our next question comes from another online participant. What is the plan for the overall debt maturity in FY25, and what is the total funding requirement for the company, including debt repayment, CapEx funding, and new debt repayments?
So I think, you know, again, question comes, and, you know, you can send us a separate mail to Viral for detailed working on the overall CapEx plus how we are going to draw. But as I was just communicating, there are two big programs which will be coming up. One is the Holdco bond repayment becomes due. And then, you know, we have an RG1. These are the two programs which we are mindful. So through the FCFE, we are fully geared up. But having said that, we feel that, you know, through the domestic market, just to, you know, give you highlights, for RG1, around $100 million we have recently funded from the domestic market. And that rate is available, that, you know, the funding is available with a 5-year put and call option. The only things why we want to go to the dollar market is that we want to align with the life of the asset, which is 22 years. And that's why we would like to tap
the global market. But in a worst scenario, the option plan B is already available with us, that, you know, access and tap the local market, which is roughly available at 9.5%, which is in line of our capital management program.
Thank you. The participant also wants to know what is it about you.
For RG1, again, you know, because there is a security and, you know, we have demonstrated the performance over last 4 or 5 years. So, you know, we feel that the rate could be 50 bps lower than the Holdco bond refinance rate, which can come at 9.5.
Thank you. The participant would also like to know what is the guidance for the offshore and onshore funding costs for the new financing. Can you also please elaborate on the infirm power sales? Thank you.
Yeah, so I'll take this question. Offshore financing, onshore funding, I think where we have mentioned that our cost of funding is around 9%. We have stress tested our portfolio that even 150 bps increase in the overall cost of funds will not have material impact for the 1 or 2 year period on our overall capex plans. But we remain confident that onshore funding will remain available within these levels. And from an offshore perspective, as I said, if you look at the other two options that we mentioned, that is, if you look at Reg D or the SEC registered market, then the costs could be in the same range, slightly higher on account of the elevated U.S. Treasury levels at this stage, but we expect that to sort of stabilize over the course of next 9-12 months. So that's how where we are. On informed power sales, Kaushal has already mentioned 1852 crore is what we made from October to October this year. That's a 12-month period. And this is primarily on account of the higher merchant spot prices in India. But we expect this to remain, and this will then be a trend where we will be able to actually build our projects at a slightly lower cost, but somehow being able to mitigate the increase on account of the supply chain issues, and that will remain reduce our cost and keep it under control on the capex side.
Thank you. Our next question comes from another online participant. Please discuss the weak generation from RG1. Irradiation rates have been weak for the last two semi-annual periods, well below P90 levels. The group has not hit P90 target on a FY basis since inception. Thank you.
So if you look at this, we have already revised our P90 generation guideline, and you know, accordingly, we are able to deliver still. If you look at the overall compliance requirement, we are within the range, and the cash flow is sufficient enough to repay the interest as well as the principal. And the revised analysis, whatever we have submitted, the rating agency also have confirmed the same.
And see, what is also happening, just to add in this, that in last couple of years in India, there were some radiation shortfall which was seen across portfolios in India. But this year, if you would see the numbers, those are what we are seeing are good numbers. And I think the first H1 of this year should be above P75. So let us look at from a long-term perspective on a mean average basis, probably then on a semi-annual basis. But yeah, apart from that, as Kaushal has mentioned, the numbers are revised, and even after the ratings were confirmed with those numbers.
Thank you. Our next question comes from another online participant. Why did CapEx reduce to INR 18 billion in FY23 H1 versus INR 74 billion in FY22 H1? Thank you.
So I don't have that often numbers on hand, but we will respond back to you with this question specifically. look at CapEx cross block and...
So I just want to, you know, inform you that CapEx, we should look at the gross block plus the work in progress. So both put together, once you look at that, you know, probably we will be able to achieve that.
1,800 plus 1,300,
we will revert to you on this specific.
Thank you. Our next question comes from another online participant. Regarding the imposition of BCD and pass-through to off-takers, do you see any pushback from state DISCOMs? In particular, is there such change in law clauses in the power supplies agreement between SECI and state DISCOMs? Thank you.
Yeah, so just to be clear on the agreements, the answer is yes. There are explicit provisions which provide, in our cases, where this cost is a pass-through to the off-takers. So that's one as far as the change in law clause is concerned. Now, with respect to whether there is a pressure from the state DISCOM, obviously, if there is a higher cost which you ask from someone, he's going to say that why. But in any which way, they are legally bound to give it to us. At the same time, Government of India is looking for a potential scheme whereby this impact for projects where it is a pass-through is being looked at, how that is minimized. If that scheme comes in, I think the overall pain value to the DISCOMs will reduce. But as far as we are concerned, we don't get impacted by it. All of whatever change in law claims we had in the past, we have been able to get through the regulatory mechanism, which is part of the earlier agreement, so there is no risk for us.
Thank you. Our next question comes from another online participant. What is the normal level of operating assets which the group typically retains in non-RG groups? What further assets do you expect to complete by year end? Thank you.
So typically what we happened is that these projects are of 100 megawatts to 200 megawatts. So we will be, you know, doing a co-obligor group structure. And so, you know, anything between which has an amount of around 500 million plus US dollar issuance, we will club that particular groups into RG and then take it forward. And there again, as per our past practice, we will have a SECI portfolio of around 60 to 70% and then 30% the state DISCOM portfolio. So that combination also gives a lot of strength on the overall the cash flow and you know, the generation. So that's how the RG structure is being done.
Thank you. Our next question comes from another online participant. Are these interim power sales on projects which are shown as commissioned in the presentation, or are these for projects which are currently shown under the under construction projects? Thank you.
So this will be shown, you know, this will be reduced on, in the balance sheet from the gross block. So this will be, it is not separately shown in the balance sheet, but this will be part of my under construction.
Thank you. Our next question comes from another online participant. Could you kindly provide more color on the potential US dollar debt issuance discussed in the Q&A, referring to the one with rating above the sovereigns?
So I think we already covered this point with respect to timing. I think tenor, see, it's a stated position on our side that we want to do all future RGs in the form and format that we did RG2, just that it will be larger in size. And with respect to size of the issuance, if you go down the SEC registered route to get on the index, it's a minimum $1 billion, and it has to be IG rating. So that would be if we go down the SEC registered route. So broadly, yeah, that's the idea. But this, as I said, from a timing perspective, we have pushed out this transaction. It's not an immediate transaction for us.
Thank you. Our next question comes from another online participant. What is the typical annual PLF for hybrid projects? Thank you.
So if you look at this first half, we have achieved close to 37%. PLF for the hybrid projects. And moving forward, we feel that it should stabilize around 40%.
See, it depends on the asset to asset. So in some assets which have been commissioned earlier, the PLFs were ranging lower on a design basis just because the mix of solar and wind in them were less intense compared to the recent projects which we have implemented. There, that mix is more intense. So going forward, on an overall basis, that is the reason why we will have a higher weighted average PLF as a hybrid. So as we commission some of the capacities which is under which has been mentioned as partially commissioned capacity, you will see that number moving up.
Thank you. Our next question comes from another online participant. Why does the group have projects which only partially commissioned? Is this part of their normal incubation process? Thank you.
So partially commissioned projects, the term which has been used here is to say that either the full project, so if there is a project of 100 megawatt, we have still done 75, 80, 90 megawatts. So that is the reason it is mentioned as a partially commissioned project. Or we are finishing that for the 100 megawatt. Or the second scenario is where while we are ready for the project with full capacity, however, for evacuation, whatever elements which the grid has given, say out of 5 elements, 3 elements are already done or 4 elements are already done, but the 5th element is still not ready. So grid has not given us a long-term open access or long-term evacuation clearance. It has only given us clearance whereby we are able to fully evacuate, but on a short-term basis. That is the reason one condition is not there. And that is the reason we say it is partially commissioned.
Thank you. Our next question comes from another online participant. When will RG1 and RG2 compliance certificate be released? Thank you.
By end of this month, we should be able to release that.
Thank you. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask any further question, please press star followed by 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're streaming via web browser, kindly press the Q&A button and type in your question.
I think one important point which, again, I would like to highlight that the receivable position of the company has improved substantially. If you look at the March numbers, the outstanding was very high, and currently we have only, it was around 1600 plus crores. Today, as we speak in September, it is around 1100 crores. The two DISCOMs, which was Tamil Nadu and Telangana, both have paid us close to $90 million in first half, and now we are absolutely more or less current on the receivable, even for this DISCOM, while others, all the SECI portfolio of close to 90% were anyway, current. But these couple of DISCOMs where we have a 6 to 7 month cycle, now they are at 1 month. So this is completely great relief from the cash flow point of view. And as a result, we could reduce the interest cost because we have repaid the working capital limits which we otherwise used to have it. And, the net debt to EBITDA, which normally, friends, you are asking, Viral will share the numbers if anybody wants to have it. But as on September, this is 5.83%. So, it's a very, very healthy against the rating agency criteria of 7.5%. So, and the run rate EBITDA for the current operating projects is close to 7,000 crores. So all in all, we are very much mindful about maintaining our rating. Even, some of the questions we are facing is that about the holdco bond discounting, but you know, rating agency also has not taken any action because we have, you know, enough dialogues with them that, you know, the cash flow is sufficient to take care of everything, whether it is an interest payment or a principal repayment. So, so this is just I wanted to highlight to you.
Thank you. We have our next questions from an online participant. Can we explain again why in the first half 23's cash flow statement, the CapEx was INR 18 billion compared to INR 74 billion last year? Thank you.
So actually, I already mentioned that, you know, can you name the investor? We will come back to him. So we will come back to you with the details. Actually, I don't have that immediate available.
And just to clarify, I think CAPEX is not only gross block. It is gross block plus also covered under CWIP and a few other line items in the balance sheet. And we will provide a response to this, Rubis, and the earlier participant would ask the same question.
Thank you. Our next question comes from another online participant. Currently, the receivables is about INR 13 billion. What do you expect it to be by end FY23? Thank you.
So I think, you know, more or less we have a one-month receivable which is outstanding currently from all the majority of the DISCOMs. So we believe that the similar kind of number should be there by year end.
Thank you. Our next question comes from another online participant. Debt markets seems to be reacting quite negatively to the Adani Group's broad growth expansion plans. To the extent possible, would you share your thinking about your growth expansion plans given how the market has repriced your debt funding costs? Thank you.
As we mentioned earlier as well, I think from our perspective, we see that there is volatility in the market. We have upped our investor engagement, and we are meeting investors one-on-one. We've met a few of you. We've had calls with you. We will outline some of the details around our growth plans. And to your question, I think we have already outlined that we will remain conservative. For us, our debt leverage as well as our ratings are of paramount importance. And we will ensure that the growth plans are not going to be in a phase which has high leverage. So we do these investor engagements, which will outline this in a more structured format.
Thank you. Our next question comes from another online participant. Do you consider to buy back or to do tender of HoldCo RG1 or RG2 bonds, considering the current bond price and more favorable onshore financing environment? Thank you.
Yeah, so Anderson, I think on this one, we are currently considering at various portfolio companies level. As on date, we've not made any market announcements, so it'll be difficult for us to confirm anything. But this is something that is being actively considered.
Thank you. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask any further questions, you can press star followed by 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're streaming via web browser, kindly press the Q&A button and type in your question. We currently have no further questions. I will hand over to Ravi to conclude today's call.
Thank you so much, everyone, for taking out time to join this call. If there are any further questions, please feel free to reach out to the Mizuho sales rep. I will hand it over to the management for making any closing remarks.
So thank you very much, all of you, for joining this call. As you know, informed to you, we are fully committed to maintain our rating and you know, the covenants compliance, what we have committed to all the bondholders. We are also mindful about our cash flow and the CapEx plan and the funding program, which will ensure that you know, it is fully met, whether it is in obligation or our CapEx program. And, you know, we'll try to come to the capital market as and when the market stabilizes. If you have any specific questions, you know, please do write to Viral or any of us. so that we can respond immediately. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.